I've got a very good friend of mine on the line direct from Singapore. Christian Barker is a journalist and editor. He's lived and worked in Singapore for around 15 years. He's a good friend of mine, an old friend from Sydney, in fact. Christian, welcome to the King Review.
Gavin, it's a pleasure to be speaking with you.
And it's interesting, Christian, Singapore, I'm reading here, just over 60,000 cases of COVID-19, but only 30 deaths. Now, you compare that to Australia, we've had just under 30,000 total cases, but just over 900 deaths. Interesting comparison, double the number of cases in Singapore, far, far less deaths. What do you attribute that to?
All I can say, Gavin, is that the standard of medical care here in Singapore is extraordinarily high. I think we're Singapore is very much seen as sort of a high quality medical hub for people from right around the region. You often have those who have the wherewithal from Indonesia, Thailand, Philippines, and so on and so forth coming into Singapore to have their medical care treatment attended to. And I guess we have taken good care of all of those patients and ensured that the system had the bandwidth to handle everyone who needed treatment.
And huge issues in Australia, of course, with aged care. So I wonder how the aged care system in Singapore cope, perhaps better prepared than certainly what Australia was. Economically speaking, on
that topic, I think it's a significant sort of cultural difference in a Confucian culture like Singapore's, where a lot of the elderly will move in with their children rather than being placed in homes for the aged. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of care for the elderly in the home with their family rather than them being placed in homes. So perhaps that played a part.
That played a part. I imagine it would. Economically, now, Christian, there was a lot of concern and criticism. A place like Melbourne, I'm sure you're aware, had insanely long lockdowns, months and months and months, and devastated really parts of the economy. Of course, tourism, major part of the economy here in far north Queensland, decimated. Economically speaking, in Singapore, in terms of how it was managed and how the economy's going now, how do businesses fare throughout this pandemic in Singapore?
There has been, a great deal of government support for the most hard-hit industries. So, hospitality, food and beverage, aviation have received, a significant amount of government support. There were initially different percentages of salary support depending on different industries were offered by the government for a period there. But Singapore government is traditionally very very conservative in its spending, all of the statements at the time were look, this is the time when we can open up our coffers and really lend a hand and help those who are hurting during the situation. So I've heard from friends, particularly in hospitality, that they've got nothing but praise for the government support that they received that allowed them to weather the storm when the restaurants might have been shut down for 3 months or more. But look, by the same token, there are a lot of empty shop fronts, a lot of restaurants and bars that didn't make it through, as with everywhere, many have found themselves with diminished employment or unemployment. But again, by the same token, now there are many initiatives in place to retrain the unemployed. And to help with re-employment of those who have lost their jobs. Despite Singapore not having what is considered a traditional social security safety net, there has been Yes, there's been significant support for those who've been harmed by the effects of the pandemic.
The other key reason I was keen to catch up with you, of course, is the news only in the last week or so about this potential for a travel bubble between Australia and Singapore. Of course, here in the north, we previously had Silk Air flying direct to Singapore. It was a fantastic service for our region. I think 6 or 7 hour flight across to you in Singapore. What can you tell us? How's this being reported in Singapore, this potential for a travel bubble? Talking, in fact, that it potentially could happen as early as July.
Yeah, look, it's very exciting. Singaporeans are you know, passionate about travel, and as I've mentioned, you know, it is a small country. I think I've seen every inch of the 700 square kilometres that we have here over the last 12 months. You know, one of the great things about living in Singapore is the fact that in past you were able to simply hop on a plane and be in Thailand in an hour and a half, or you know, Indonesia or Bali in a couple of hours, the Maldives in a few hours. Look, I don't think we're going to return to that sort of situation anytime soon, but there is you know, there's great excitement about this travel bubble. You know, earlier in the 2020, a few months ago, we were sort of teased with the idea of a travel bubble opening up with Hong Kong. Unfortunately, that fell through when there was a further outbreak in Hong Kong. However, you know, traveling from one bustling modern Asian metropolis to another bustling modern Asian metropolis is not quite as exciting as the prospect of being able to head to Australia or being able to head to New Zealand, which, you know, it looks like we might have that sort of triangular travel bubble opening up. I do think, you know, the initial reports that I read in the Sydney Morning Herald, for instance, seem to suggest that Singapore might be being positioned as a sort of Ellis Island for Australia, a kind of quarantine and vaccine clearinghouse. The Ministry of Foreign Affairs of Singapore did come out on Sunday and put paid to those rumours and say that, you know, that is not the intention. It's very much more, you know, a discussion of Singapore opening up to travellers coming from Australia as an origin, rather than this necessarily helping all of those many Aussies who've been unfortunately stuck in Europe, the United States, and so forth, and are trying to get home. And the issues with quarantine and so forth in Australia has been preventing that. So I don't know that this situation, if indeed it does come through in July and August, will be a huge help necessarily to those Australians who are stuck overseas. But, you know, I think it's definitely going to be great for you know, those of us who are craving to you know, see fresh horizons for the first time in 12 months. And look, for those of us such as myself who, or you know, the many Singaporeans who have family in Australia, and conversely, the many Australians who have family in Singapore, you know, it's been tough not being able to you know, get on a plane, as you say, 6 or 7 hours, and head down from Singapore and meet my parents in Queensland. So, you know, that's been a struggle, and we're very much looking forward to hopefully, this bubble opening up.
Well, if and when the bubble opens up, we just need you in Singapore pushing your fellow Singaporeans to Cairns. I think that's a key mission for you going forward, Mr. Barker. Christian, fantastic, fantastic to have you on the show. We might catch up with you every couple of months and give us a bit of an international perspective on things. Christian, thanks so much for being on the King Review.
Thanks for having me, Gavin.